We play and call it work.
Hey there, everyone, and welcome to this week's Sit and Talk, a weekly show where we're going to sit down and answer your questions and comments from the last video. I think the last person to do the Sit and Talk was Chris, so I'm reading the comments from his video. And next week is going to be Matthew, so if you want Matthew to answer any questions next week, leave a comment below on this video. Sorry, my shoes are squeaking. So leave the comments on the miniwargaming.com website on this video, just because off of YouTube it's harder to pull them all and organize them, so leave them on the website and we'll get them answered for you right there. So remember, it is Matthew next week. And if you're new to the show, what's going to happen is I'm going to read the comments for about 30 minutes or so, and then I'll stop and go read 30 minutes or so in the vault if there are any more comments. I know because of the holidays, not a whole lot of comments this week. But we'll answer what we got. Plus, I tend to ramble, so it'll probably be a while. Now, I didn't print them off, and excuse me, I do have a bit of a cold. I'm just coming off of it. Got really sick over the holidays. So I'll try not to sniffle too much or cough too much. So I just pull up the questions from last week, which my iPad just crashed. I got to reload it. Still with me? There you go. Okay, let's get right to the comments. So, start off with Waylander 11, Steve. I'm sniffling already. Don't take it the wrong way, but have you ever won with your Dark Angels? I'm a Dark Angels player, and whenever I see your bat reps, it seems like you lose each time. I could be wrong. I haven't exactly gone searching through the vault for one you've won, but like I say, don't take it badly. As a Dark Angels player, I'm actually more concerned with the competitiveness of the army. Oh yeah, I've won with them plenty. I definitely wouldn't worry about the competitiveness of the Dark Angels army. I think it is actually quite competitive, quite good. I think it won. I don't want to name the tournament last year. I can't remember which one last year. They're a very competitive army. Very, very competitive army. You can make some super cheesy lists and some nasty Death Stars with Dark Angels. I can't remember every game I've ever played, because I do it for a living. I play a lot. But I can think of two Dark Angels battle reports where I've used mostly Green Wing and lost horribly. One, I shouldn't give too many spoilers in case people want to go back and watch them, but it was one that was against a buddy of mine, and he rolled me really fast. It was pretty bad. And another one was against a younger guy who, oh dude, I forget your name. Actually, we were just talking about you a couple days ago, because basically, I'll tell you how it works for you. We come in for battle report, you should come in around 9:30. We set everything up. We're usually rolling dice by about 10 a.m. And then we break for lunch for about half hour to an hour. And then we get back to it, finish the game. And the games usually end in between, sometimes as early as 2 o'clock in the afternoon. But the average tends to be 3 or 4 o'clock. The games are over. Just because filming, everything kind of slows everything down. This kid beat me so bad with orcs by 11 a.m., we were outside, there's a little restaurant across the street, we were outside the restaurant waiting for them to open up, because we were done so early, it wasn't even early enough to go to lunch yet. And he was playing with orcs, and he's outshot my Dark Angels, who are, it's a pretty shooty army. He just shot me so bad. So are you probably remembering that one, and the last one with Luca, another one did not go well in my favor. Sorry for spoilers if you haven't seen them yet, but I don't know if anybody watches the older battle reports. I'm maybe sure you... Probably people do. Either way, there was two that went really, really horrible for me. When I played the pure Deathwing, it's hit or miss because it's Deathwing. It's all Terminators. And I think I've won every game where I played mostly or purely Ravenwing. But, I mean, I haven't, even though I haven't really played the Ravenwing to its full potential yet, because I have less than a third of my Ravenwing painted. The remaining two-thirds of the Ravenwing are two-thirds of the way painted. They're based, they're on their bases. They can go on camera, but I want some extra details, but I just got so, I lost the motivation to paint the army. So I have Lee, our studio painter, they're on his desk now. He's gonna finish them up for me, so there'll be larger Ravenwing lists coming up soon. Because we got so many other armies on the go right now that I'm painting constantly. Studio stuff and my stuff. Once I'm able to start playing an army, I kind of lose the complete will to keep painting more and more for the army, because I want to paint other armies, get other armies on the table. So there'll be more Ravenwing coming, so there'll be different lists is where I think the true strength of the army is. And like I said, there's some really competitive and cheesy lists you can make with the Ravenwing, which I'll do with the right opponent. If anybody wants to specifically play against it, I will absolutely play against it with you guys, whoever wants to come in and play against it. But I don't want to play against, I don't want to bring a pure Ravenwing army against somebody just coming in for, you know, a fun game or whatever, because it can be pretty dirty, especially with rerolling Jinx. It can be really, really dirty. So yeah, the army is definitely competitive. That was a long answer for the first question. Yeah, in short, I have won some games, I've lost plenty, and I've lost some really bad, like you've seen, and they are very competitive, especially with Ravenwing. And a combination of Ravenwing and Deathwing can go quite nice as well. But I'll move on. 99 Arcturus. I can read. Steve, how would you make a Psychic Heavy Elder list? Cad Detachment, Friendly, or Cheese? Psychic Heavy? I've never been a big fan of Psychers when I played Eldar on the regular. I'm getting more and more into the Psychic phase in general right now, as I'm not playing Eldar as often. I should actually play them again a bit, just for fun. But if I were to go back and do it, now it would be Hemlock Wraith Fighters, especially with Psychic Shriek not requiring to hit. Having 2 D blasts and Psychic Shriek because they're a Psychic Pilot, I would throw probably 3 of them in the list. Though fast attack section in Elder in general is so beautiful, but if I want to go Psychic Heavy, yeah, 3 Hemlocks. I would definitely put together the nice Warlock Death Star on bikes. I don't know, if you want to go like super Psychic Heavy, I'd probably all in a Librarius Conclave, but if I want to go State Elder on its own, just the Warlocks, a couple of Farseers, and the Hemlocks, basically taking what has Psychic Powers in the list. There's no real cheesy combinations, just maximizing on them. I don't know how it would work. It'd be interesting. And I definitely would try it. I actually got this idea in my head a while back to paint the Eldar Warlock Death Star jet bike thing. And I got like 1 of the guys painted, maybe 2. I had 2 of them painted, and the rest are just sitting on a shelf somewhere, undone, which I'll get around to eventually. So yeah, if I ever get that unit painted, I will definitely do the list. I'm sure between the studio and Chris, there's probably enough hemlocks in here to do it. But the problem is, it's a good problem to have. There are so many, I love the game so much, I love the hobby, that there are so many things I want to try and want to paint, that I end up overwhelming myself with the stuff I want to paint and then not getting as much done as I probably could. So this comment makes me think about it, makes me want to do it. In the next couple days, I'm going to start working on it, but then somebody else in the office will make a random comment about a Dreadnought list, and all of a sudden I'll be super excited about that for a bit. I'll stop painting this Death Star, and I'll start painting a bunch of Dreadnoughts just because I have hobbyist ADD, I guess. For the best way of putting it. But yeah, no, with unlimited resources and time, I'd try all these things. Sir Knight of Ender, Steve, who's your... Who is your favorite employer, Dave or Matt? Okay. What a loaded question. Let's go ahead and... let's assume I had a favorite, okay? What do I gain stating it? Why draw lines in the sand? I love them as bosses equally, as all parents love their children equally. What a loaded question. I don't know if you're trying to sow dissent in the studio or what. But I don't know, good on you or shame on you. I'm not sure. Excuse me. Soil, Steve, I have noticed that your Chaos Dwarf team doesn't have tall hats. Why are they not wearing their hats? The Chaos Dwarf team for Blood Bowl, they are actually Willy Miniatures. If you go to willyminiatures.com, I think it is, or just Google Willy Miniatures and it'll pop up. When we were all getting into Blood Bowl, we're all like picking what teams to play, and I just saw this team. They didn't have the hats, but they did have the Byzantine beards or whatever they're called. And they just looked really cool. I really wanted to paint them, so I bought that team and painted them up right away. Yeah, I wish they had the hats though, because, man, Those really tall, goofy Chaos Dwarfs from back in the 90s, back when I first started into Warhammer Fantasy, first got into the hobby. There's some of the most iconic images I can remember of everything back then. Them and the Empire Greatswords with their puffy pants and curvy swords. Big Mikey, Steve, do you or any of the guys find it weird when guests come in and know a lot about you, but you know their name and maybe what army they're bringing in? No, I don't find it weird at all. Actually, I think it's pretty cool because regularly people are coming in here, obviously. There's multiple people here a week. And when they're really comfortable and they know our names and they're just, oh, hey, Steve. And it's not like meeting strangers every week. It's not like playing strangers every week. It's just playing people, like they have this familiarity with us, which usually sets them at ease, which makes them more, what's the proper word here? Like it just, they fit right in because they're so comfortable with this already. And most people aren't really shy. Some people are shy, especially when I go on camera, but people tend to fit in really easy around here. And it's like every game, well, you see most of my battle reports, there's always laughing in between the clips. I try not to do it so much, but it spills over. You're just joking around and playing with people with common interests. So it's pretty cool. I love it that people come in feeling comfortable and know our names and know a lot about us. Ooh, Steve, what? Oh, where are we going here? Oh, with the difficulty you have getting old world Warhammer Fantasy Battle games going, would you ever consider playing Kings of War? The community appears to have been getting speed in the last year. Well, those are two comments. I'm gonna address them separately. The difficulty of getting the games is I don't know if it's difficult. I don't think we in the past year, 12 months, I think I missed 2 weeks of Warhammer Fantasy. And considering that, for the most part, now that I have Josh and Quirk doing it as well, but for the most part, I was doing it on my own while filming the other games I was required to film around here. So with a 5-day work week, I had to dedicate at least 1 day of the 5-day work week to fantasy. And a lot of times people would come in and request a bunch of days, or a bunch of people would request a week, and I'll have weeks at a time where I'm so booked up with Warhammer 40K and or a campaign that I can't squeeze in fantasy, so I have to try to squeeze in as much as I can when I can, so I can trickle it out weekly. And over the past 12 months, 52 weeks, I've missed two, which I think is pretty good for just one guy working on it. Now there's three of us, it should be a lot harder to miss. It's a bit of a challenge over Warhammer 40K, because we don't have to go ahead and ask people to come in for 40K. I think we're saying no to people because we can't accommodate everybody. But fantasy, I want more people to come in, but it hasn't been so hard that I haven't been asking people to come or challenge me to battle reports, which I probably should be doing. So if you do play fantasy and you're willing to come in, you're local, semi-local, or willing to make the drive in, email me, steve@miniwargaming.com. We'll play a game. You'll have fun, I promise. It's not hard. We come in, we play in your studio. The camera part's easy. You'll enjoy it. We'll have a good time. But yeah, I don't have to really try to hunt them down. I'm slowly building up the local community. I've gotten a couple of people relatively local that have decided to learn the game. A couple of good friends have finally turned over and trying to start playing fantasy, which I can call on when I need them. Like, for example, Josh is one of them where I just needed him for fantasy so often because he lived literally four blocks that way. And now he's an employee, so he's always here if I need him for fantasy. So fantasy, the struggle for fantasy right now isn't getting people to come in, though more people coming in would be nice, better variety. It's more finding time with everything else that has to be done. And we'll always find time, we'll always make time for it because, it is my favorite game. It is my, by far, favorite game. And I don't want it to die, but one day it will. It's a juggle of everything else that has to be done, and it's doing well. It's doing very well for us. So there's no plans to stop it in the near future. So no, there's no plans to stop it. Now the reason why I'm saying all this is to answer your second part of your question is, with Kings of War appearing to be picking up speed, but I go and move over to it. The thing about that is, ultimately those calls are that's gonna be Matt's call. And I wouldn't say no to it, but as I said, trying to maintain 1 day, trying to find enough times, 50 days throughout the year to film fantasy, to make time for fantasy, while doable, has its challenges. they're not impossible to do. I can get it done. But now adding another game, Kings of War, which I may very well, I think I played one game with a buddy Clarence. I think I played one. Yeah. While I'm sure I would enjoy it, I would have to do less 40K to make room for it. Now, that's not saying that can't be done. But most likely what would happen is it would be something that would take over if fantasy ever actually died. If people just said, hey, Steve, enough for the fantasy. We don't want to see it no more. Well, it doesn't matter if anybody says that, because people say something all the time. It means if people just stop watching, people stop signing up to see the Vault version of it, then yeah, we'll stop doing fantasy. But people are still watching. People are still signing up to see it. So there's no point in stopping it. It would just make no sense to stop one show that is proven to bring in revenue to do another one, which probably would, but we don't know for sure. It probably would, but don't know for sure. See, if I only have, you know, 8 days a week, 40 hours a week to film, I already know to maintain the 40K required is so many hours a week, then the campaigns is so many hours a week, and then making sure there's at least 8 hours a week for fantasy, I have to squeeze one more in. Not impossible, but not something I would look forward to try squeezing in right now. Don't get me wrong, I would love if there's all time in the world to cover all these games, because I think I would like Kings of War. I think the Ninth Age could be enjoyable. I think there was that Fantasy Flight fantasy one, I forget what it was called, Rune something? Looked pretty interesting to me as well. But right now I pretty much fear learning new games because I don't want to like them and then try to find time to cover them. This is a weird answer, but a true one. Where did I leave off? Steve, do you have any thoughts on how to do a Deathwing, Ravewing, Dark Angels list without any Greenwing? Oh, absolutely, yeah. I think I've done it once, but not to the way I would like to. It would require more Ravenwing than Deathwing, but I would like both. Just because it's nothing like having, every Ravenwing biker has a teleport homer. So teleporting in Deathwing right when you need them, because you can choose when they come in with their detachment, basically turn two. Yeah, it can be quite good. I don't know if it's always gonna be competitive, but it's fluffy and it's fun. So yeah, I actually do enjoy doing it. And I try to do it, I think I've done it a couple times. I try to change it up as much as I possibly can with the fluff and the competitive, because I tend to play more the competitive side and less the fluff side, because others cover the fluff more. And then sometimes I want to try the fluff myself. And then, I don't know, it's mood, to be honest with you. So I don't know what I'm saying right now. I'm kind of rambling. Yeah, I'll try it again. I like it. It's fun. It's pretty cool, and that's what they're meant to do, right? The Ravenwing hunt them down, and then the Deathwing mop them up. Chris, that is not for me. But you also go on to say, Steve, do you find that mini wargaming is your job? Wait, do you find that mini wargaming is your job? It has taken some of the fun out of playing, or is there enough variety that it's always fresh and fun? Like I said earlier, there's so much variety that's always fresh and fun. You would think that playing Warhammer 40K is the thing I play most around here. You would think playing Warhammer 40K 40 hours a week, 5 days a week, would get boring. It doesn't. I love it every day. When you play a game, I don't know if it takes you 2 hours or 4 hours or an entire night if you're joking around with your buddies, whatever. But for me, an average 40K game takes about 6 hours. That's not just playing, but that's filming and setting up and goofing around behind the camera and having the weird conversations we have. It takes about 6 hours per game. So every game is dragged out a little bit, but I've never had... It's good. I want to say it's good. Like, I'm blessed to be able to do this for a living. It pays my mortgage. Just to play games every day. Every now and then, like even before I worked here, I used to ask Owen, because I knew him beforehand, dude, it's the hobby. Do you ever enjoy your hobby less than that's your job now? And the answer was no. I'm like, come on, it's got to be. Like, I never really got my mind around it. Like, you can't enjoy playing all the time. Sometimes you just don't feel like playing. And now I've been doing it for 2.5 years, and no, it's awesome. No. To you, sir, I say no, it is awesome. Freaky Steve, why are you such a cheater? Helps me win. Does it really feel good to win knowing that you cheated? harsh. Oh, okay, just kidding. But in all seriousness, I really enjoy you bat reps and the fun atmosphere you bring to them. In your last stint talk, you took a stand, sitting, against all the silly prank comments. Was that purely an expression of laziness? No judgment, as I would probably do the same. Or were you encouraged to take the videos away from that direction? No, nobody encouraged me to do that. That was a personal stand. I felt that if everybody hasn't followed the previous sit and talks, there were more comments coming in of, run over to Josh and, you know, poke his beard, and or go over to Dave and give him a big hug. And I felt if, and some of the guys were doing them, I felt that they were a few more of those comments every week. And I felt if I do them myself, it just, the show would just go that way, where just we become a bunch of dancing monkeys filling every request you would have. Because some of them are funny, some of them are not. Most of them are funny, actually. But I just figured the show would very quickly turn into a random bit of silliness where some of us aren't all down for that, and others are. I'm more than willing to answer any question asked of me, honestly and sincerely, if I can. So if anyone wants a serious question asked, if anyone has just any, wants to know my actual opinion on anything, they won't ask if the show turns into a big silly thing. And don't get me wrong, I like the silly thing. You've seen my bad reports. I rarely take anything seriously. But if this, okay, for the thing is, this show here, the Sit and Talk, was my favorite show when I was still a fan of Mini Wargaming. That sounded weird. What I mean is, this was my favorite show before I worked here. Before I even knew Mini Wargaming was so close to where I lived, I had no idea it was in the same country. That was weird. But I loved Matthew Sit and Talk, and I loved watching him answer serious questions honestly. So I want to respect what the show started as, what he built it to be. I respect it. I loved it. Love it. Still love it. I still actually watch the Sit and Talk when the other guys do it, because it was my favorite show, and I guess it is my favorite show. So just that reason, this is the one area where, while I'll goof around and joke around and make stupid comments, try to maintain a little more seriousness than I do than almost everything else in my life. Is that too serious? Flatfoot, Steve, my dude, let's take a break from the hobby questions and get personal, okay? Let's get to know Steve a bit more. What was your first job? My first job. First paying job, I think I was 12. And my family and my mother's side were all members of the Legion, the Royal Canadian Legion, I think it was called, or something like that. It's a, you know what, I'm not even sure exactly what it is. It's like a lodge, I think, a club. Basically, it's a bar you got to be a member to, and there's like three that I know within an hour's drive. You know what, I'm not even sure what it is. Basically, it's got a little private bar. And when I was 12, my uncle would just pay me to go in at like 5 in the morning, empty the garbage cans, and dump the ashtrays. So I guess that's technically my first job. Wait, is that even legal? Should I even said that? I'm sure that'd be fine. That was like 20 years ago. What did you want to be when you grew up? I don't know. Can anybody remember what they wanted to be when they were a kid? I think I wanted to be Batman. I'm pretty sure I wanted to be Batman. I'm gonna go with that. Yeah, you know, if there was a job I wanted to do when I was a child, I don't know if I can think of it. I played a lot of sports and I played a lot of video games and didn't think a lot about the future. Look where I am now. Get so many jokes about that right now. Stay in school, kids. Get a good job. Or work on YouTube. How did you explain your jobs to others who are unfamiliar with miniature wargaming? That's interesting. I've answered that question so many different ways to so many different people. I remember, I don't know if I told this story before. I live in Niagara Falls, which is about 15 minutes away from Welland, where Mini Wargaming Studios is. And Niagara Falls is a border town with Niagara Falls, New York, for the USA. So I cross the border regularly. There's a bunch of pubs across the border. I would go regularly, and the Olive Garden's over there. We don't have that over here. So I'd cross the border regularly. And I remember the first time I crossed the border with my girlfriend, right after I accepted the job. Not right after I accepted the job, right after I actually started working in the building. The border patrol officer, he's asking us questions, and he goes to me, "And what do you do for a living?" And this was my response. And after that, for a couple seconds, I replied with, I'm unemployed. I had not answered the question. I'm a grown man. I play with toys for a living, sir. Which is actually funny, because not too long after that, a few months after that, following winter, Chris Ash and myself were going to Buffalo, New York for a War Machine tournament, and we crossed the border again, and he asked, what do you guys all do for a living? They're like, oh, we all work together. What do you do for a living? Play with toys. And then we had to spend about 20 minutes explaining how we play with toys, how it pays us, how we get revenue from it, and then he wanted to know the rules of the game and how the dice were coming into effect. It was just weird. It's not a question that most people can, not a lot of 30-year-olds can go and be like, yeah, I play on YouTube with toys for a living, and people don't have follow-up questions where you have to spend a long time answering. So yeah, that has been an odd question. I don't have a steady answer. I don't have a one go-to answer. I go with whatever I currently think in the moment. But yeah, I have gone through that numerous times in my last 2 years. Steve, if you could have one piece of war gear from any Warhammer 40K faction race in real life, would it be? Have a nice day. Sorry, have a nice New Year's and day. One piece of war gear, eh? A jet bike. Yep, I want a hover jet bike. And I'm going to hurt myself. Or a jump pack. Nah, the jet bike would be more fun. Yep, going with jet bike for sure. Put my giant body on a jet bike. Might not go as fast, a little too much run resistance. Steve, you have just taken over Games Workshop. Ho, we're all doomed. What model would you make? Please describe it. Ooh. I don't know. I have an answer for that. What model would I make? I don't know. I think I would enjoy more working with the rules writers than the model designers. I don't know if you've ever seen any of the armies I paint. I'm not overly creative artistically. Like, I paint my miniatures pretty much like the box art they came in. So I don't know if I'm a good guy to design a model. I'm sure I can come up with something if I want to, but I basically have no desire to design a model. Oh wait, no, not true. I'd make a space marine. I'd have him look like me. I gave him a beard. I give him a gut and stick out from his power armor. That's the model I would make. I would charge a bunch of money for him and give him crazy good rules. Like a titan. That's all we got from the sit and talk questions. I think the vault had a couple of questions. If it did, that is the wrong video. I'm really technically savvy. Keith, you haven't figured it out. I am not technically savvy. I'll sing for you to avoid the dead air as I try to find the sit and vault. Oh, turns out there's a link for it on the main page. There's only one question. Steve, what are your thoughts on the series of Forge World miniatures being sold in Games Workshop store? I can't say that word. Specifically, I have to really think about saying that word before I say it. My mouth does not want to say it accurately ever. And specifically, the Primus Medicaid. What models would you like to see? That's a whole, I can do a whole 30-minute talk on this. I don't know if it's true. Maybe it is true, because I guess some people have talked about it. I think it's pretty cool. I don't think Forge World will ever really be selling their models in Games Workshop stores. I think by calling it a premium product, basically keeping it separate from the regular stuff, they're able to charge a bunch more for it. A lot more than it costs them to make, obviously. They can make a bigger profit keeping it specialist on Forge World, because people like me keep buying it. And I'm not gonna say it's wrong. I'm not gonna fault them for it. I keep paying for it, so they're doing it right. So I don't think we'll ever see it. So just because of that, I don't want them. Like, I wouldn't. Yeah, honestly, I would love it. I would love it if I can buy a Bane, not a Bane Blade, a Spartan in Games Workshop, and get it from my local store here, Max Aggression Gaming in Niagara Falls. Call up the owner Dan and be like, hey, get me one of these. Instead, I have to order it through the website and have it shipped in a couple weeks later. Yeah, I would absolutely love it. I don't think they'll ever do it. And for that reason, we'll get into speculation as if what it would be like if they did do it. But yeah, I would love it if you can get Forge World in the store. I think it would open up Forge World to a lot more people. I think a lot of people don't like ordering internationally, so they just don't order anything from Forge World. You put it in the local stores, and all of a sudden all these things are more readily accessible to everybody. There are more armies here in North America. But then you'll see a lot more of them on the table on the regular, other than like the Elder Hornet or whatnot. But that's it. That's all. I can go on forever about that, but I think you get my point. That's it. There's not going to be a sit and vault this week because I just ran out of questions, and I don't think I can ramble any longer. I don't think you want to see me talk for 30 minutes on that one comment, though I could. I wouldn't make much sense, though. But that is going to be it, so there's going to be no vault content for sit and talk this week. But remember to leave your comments below on this video on miniwargaming.com for Matthew, and he'll answer your questions next week, and ask all the hard-hitting questions of Matthew. Thanks for watching, guys, and happy wargaming.